The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
No. There's been a mistake, you see.
Excuse me. What Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. BJ Perry.
Clinical Muscle starts.
This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. BJ Puri. Along with me, as always, the star of this production, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
Good morning, my friend.
Bright and early.
Yep. We're right on the dot, actually. 8 o'clock. Bam.
I love it.
I'm actually recording this, so if anyone hears the sounds of peace and tranquility.
Yeah, that's the sound of serenity right there. It's nice and
I am recording this outside on my deck at the trailer park because the inside is loaded with three dogs and three sleeping humans.
Yeah.
So with my loud ass laugh, I didn't want to wake them up. Plus, it's kind of cool, but I'm hoping the sound quality is not terrible for everybody. But it's kind of cool, you know. I'm sitting out here on the deck and I'm looking around, and
it's probably nice out too, isn't it?
Oh, it's perfect, dude. Oh, it's like, man, chilling. I got my tank top on. I've just got my feet up, drinking
Cola. It's like I can hear like the breeze and I can hear like the birds chirping. It sounds fucking beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I got the mute button on hold in case something goes down.
Yeah.
Loud, but no, I was gonna. My plan was to wake Haley up and move her to another room. But then I was like, you know what? It's pretty quiet out there. I think I could get away with this. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, chilling.
You'll be right. Unless some, like, you know, some WT starts some fight in the trailer park or something, right?
that's the good thing about this trailer park is it's not one of those typical ones, you know, because most of the people down here, like, it's their second place. You know what I mean?
They're home away from home, their condo.
There's no primary residence going on, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
We were supposed to record Sunday, and I had to cancel because of my sound situation. I left this headset at my house, and I've been down here since, God, the 11th. Or no, 12th. 12th or 13th.
Damn. A couple weeks now. Holy shit.
Yeah, we're living down here. And
why not? Fuck yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, we're getting much use out of it as we can because
the kids aren't in school, right? They don't got shit to do, right?
And Haley can drive. She has her car. So she's now, like, last year we weren't down a lot because she was moaning and groaning because she wanted to be with her friends and she didn't have nothing to do down here. But now she can drive the car back and forth. She can go wherever the fuck she wants, really.
Yeah.
So it's been, we've been able to just stay, and she's going back and forth. And, but you know, we keep saying, let's go home for a day. And then we're like, why? We got everything we need here. And because in a week, not even a week now, on Tuesday, Stevie starts football practice already.
Are you kidding me?
Dude, for that travel team, they're starting July 3rd.
Oh, okay. It's not school. This is not school related. This is
no. He's got July 3rd every Tuesday, Thursday for the rest of the summer. He's going to have football practice for that travel team, and then his other football team, the MOT team, the league we play in, they start the end of July. So before we know it, we're not even going to be able to really come down here again. So we pay this much money a year. We're trying to get as much out of it as we can. You know.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
You know, so anyway, Sunday I woke up and I thought I could get away with using a pair of Apple iPod, you know, Apple headphones. And I got up and I did my thing, did my cardio, and I was, let me test these things out. And I put them in, and one of the sound sides wasn't working right. And I just was thinking, this is going to sound terrible, worse than sitting outside. So I said, let's just do it Tuesday. And Haley brought me my headset down from home because I had forgot it. But so now we're all good.
We're good. Yeah.
Yeah. You sounded Sunday morning. You were still mucusy and coughing anyway. So maybe good we postponed.
Yeah. No, this works good. I'm about like 95% better. I'm at the stage now where I'm like where if I cough something up, it's like a chunk of green like phlegm or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's got to be the end of the infection or whatever. You know, I'm just basically clearing out the guts. You know.
Well, shit. It's been.
But over 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, though. Listen, and did you get on an antibiotic?
No, God no.
Okay, so here's my point. If I get a lot of people who come into my job what the kind of symptoms you had, and they're there in 2 days, and they want an antibiotic, and then you try to explain that to them, and it's going to go away, but then they come back in 5 days because it's not gone yet. And the thing is that things like viral bronchitis, even simple adenovirus, colds, rhinovirus, these upper respiratory kind of things, they will go away. They don't, but it's not going to happen in a week. It's going to be 10 days because what happens in the beginning is even after – this is probably what you're going through. Even after your body clears that virus, there's all kinds of inflammation.
Right.
And there's debris buildup in your bronchi. There's debris buildup in your nose from all the white blood cells and all that stuff coming to the area to fight off the infection. And that stuff takes time to calm down, clear out, and go away. And people think, oh, I still have this cough after 10 days. Well, if you have the cough – you're coughing up a little mucus, but you don't have a fever. You're not short of breath. You're not having night sweats. You know, you don't find you can't walk across the floor because you can't breathe. It's going to go away. Or you don't have some kind of underlying bad medical illness, you know, like you're, you know, got end stages, you know, you're on chemotherapy or you got some kind of immune problem or whatever.
HIV.
HIV. You
know, below, which is also a virus. Yeah.
Right. So – that's why, you know, that's why I brought that up when you I said, are you on antibiotic? Because it's just if more people would just
it's just overblown garbage, man. These people, they don't realize that antibiotics won't do jack shit for a viral infection. If anything, it holds you back, your immunity. It kills your immunity.
And not only that, here's what I get a lot of. I get a lot of you know, to come in 5 days, if they get an antibiotic, they'll be back with some side effect. They're having an allergy. They got diarrhea. A lot of girls get yeast infections. So then they want that Flukin tablet.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, well, if you never got on the antibiotic to begin with, you wouldn't need that either. So
Yeah.
Let shit run its course, man. It'll go away unless you start to get those crazy symptoms like you feel short of breath or your fever spiking for no – if you're sick for a week and you've been not having a fever and suddenly you're getting like 102 fever, 100 – yeah, then maybe something else is going on. But if you've been like you – so it goes away, and it's you're right on the time. It takes about 2 to 4 weeks, like for a bronchitis type thing, for the cough to go away.
Absolutely. Do you get a lot of like female patients that are, you know, they overdo the antibiotics, and then you know they start getting a lot of UTIs as a result?
Get a lot of yeast infections. That would be the
yeast,
big thing.
Okay. So
And then they're like, well,
it's the overgrowth.
Every time I take an antibiotic, I get a yeast infection. I need to get a Diflucan or whatever. And you're like, well, if you didn't use that antibiotic so much, you wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So what's been new with you? With you over there, are you still going back and forth and all?
I am back and forth all the time still. It's just I get a nice little break right now because I'm catching up finally. You know, it's taken like 6 months or whatever, but I'm finally catching up, so I can take longer breaks in between trips now. It's nice.
Oh, that's good.
It's good. It's good, man.
Simmering down,
yeah, for sure. But I still got to head back up there. I'm gonna be up there 4 days next week, 1 day the following week, you know, because I got shit to do there. But, yeah, it's coming around, man. I had –
put some mileage on the freaking truck, aren't you?
I've got 200,000-plus miles on my truck.
How's
right
it
now.
Running? Still running
like
good?
Like a fucking tank, man. Doesn't
There
doesn't,
you go.
Yeah. I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Got to love F-150. I'm a big fan. It's like I found my one true vehicle, you know.
I love mine. I like the Ram I had too, but this truck's way nicer, dude. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, they ride so nice. They're easy on your back, and they got tons of balls when you need it, you know?
Yep, definitely do.
Yeah.
Does your truck have a sport mode?
No, I don't have the EcoBoost. I've got the 5.4 V8.
Dude, that fucking sports mode.
I hear good
when
things.
When I put that thing in sports mode, I literally feel like I'm going to lose control. That bitch is like that. I don't like it.
you get a little chubby. You get like your dick get a little hard a little bit.
Yeah, I feel more like I'm scared. Like I'm like, holy fuck, dude, I don't like speed, you know.
It's too fast. I can't control it.
Yeah. You could just feel the power shift. Shifts to it. You know, they just, you know how the torque is. It just shifts different, man. It's like, whoa, it's crazy. You think, oh, you switch to these different modes, you can't feel that thing. When you put it in that truck will go.
I love it. I like it. I'm an American muscle kind of guy when it comes to like cars and vehicles altogether.
Yeah, you're a Mustang guy, right?
Yeah. I don't have any Mustangs anymore, but I mean, I'm still an American Muscle guy, you know what I mean? So I appreciate the shit out of like lots of horsepower and torque and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Ford altogether, really. But man, I had I took an edible last night, you know. I think I took it too late, you know, and then it kicked in and I woke up and I was still fucking stoned a little bit. So so right now I'm like, it's like tapering off right now, you know. So, you know, hopefully the doc can answer a lot of these questions and I'll throw in some hallucinative stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You'll just make some shit up. At least you're deep in, you know, thought. You'll be able to ponder the shit real good.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't make for good radio because I'll be sitting there just thinking and thinking and thinking and not realize I'm a radio.
Yeah. Oh, man, I had a crazy day at work yesterday.
Ooh, tell us the story.
Oh, man. Well, the day itself was actually pretty pleasant. It wasn't one of those crazy busy days, but we had a guy come in. It's been a while, man. It's been a while. So this was crazier than the heart attack one.
Oh, boy.
We had a guy come in, and he sat down at the chair, and he told our front desk person that he, you know, was having trouble breathing, and the front desk guy said that, you know, he looked like he was really sweaty. This was after all the fact, you know, it was over. We talked. And he said all of a sudden his eyes rolled back in his head and he fell out of the chair. And they're like, Dr. Ogden, this guy just passed out. So jeez. I run out in the hall, out in the lobby. And there's just this look that people get when they're dying. And, you know, a lot of times their face will be purple immediately. Like it's, wow. That's not good. That's never good. So as soon as I went out there, I got a glimpse of him on the floor and he's about a 350-pound man, maybe heavier, face down, and his head was purple. And I said, this isn't passing out. And I was like, call 911. So went out there, rolled him over, and son of a bitch, he had no pulse. He wasn't breathing.
Ooh,
I started CPR. The whole scenario right in the waiting room. I shit in my pants. I haven't had to do CPR on someone in so long. And felt like forever before the ambulance got there. We had the whole thing going, man. We had the pads on him, the AED. When you put the AED on, it tells you if you should shock or no shock. Uh-huh. And it was like no shock advised, which means that when the AED says there's no shock advised, that means it's not a shockable rhythm. And there's really only a couple shockable rhythms. It's ventricular fibrillation and pulseless ventricular tachycardia. They're the main shockable rhythms in the ACLS protocol. And then if it says no shock, don't shock, that means they're either asystolic,
mm-hmm.
you know, flatline, or they have something like PEA, which is pulseless electrical activity, or some kind of really bradycardic rhythm. But this guy had no pulse. He was not breathing. And, man, did CPR. I was pounding on him. It was crazy. I was shaking.
Oh,
like, but my team did great. But guess what? Got him back.
Oh, wow. I this was heading south really quick. I was like, oh, boy.
No, he did that for about – it felt like 10 minutes before the ambulance got there. And, man, he started to breathe. We kept bagging him. He woke up and he was just still really messed up. But then he actually was able to verbalize his name. And I was just thinking to myself, holy shit,
man,
dude, I literally just saved his life.
Yeah, he was dead.
Dude, he was done. He was done.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he coded. It was, you know, and I was just like, I was so proud of the people I was working with because we don't see that every day. You're not, you know, when someone walks in there, we see 100 people a day. We send about two of them to the, you know, three of them to the ER because most of the time it's sniffles and colds and UTI. That's not something I treat every single day. And
yeah, man, right.
That shit'll put you on. That shit'll wake you up, man. You know if you're ready for it or not. And I just kept thinking about that all the time. Like that dude, I can't. And there was people in the waiting room. It was crazy. The paramedics came. They, you know,
man.
They got him on a monitor and he was in like a third degree heart block. They put the external pacers on him. It was fucking crazy, you know?
Wow, and, that's crazy. What, this was 2 days ago, you said?
No, it was last night.
No shit. Oh my God.
Yeah, last night at work. Yeah, yesterday.
Wow,
yeah.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah. And then good thing was later on the day before we closed, I called the ER and checked on him and they said, yeah, he's He's in the intensive care unit. He's awake. He actually is eating, and he's waiting to get a pacemaker. So I'm like, dude, I was telling the people I work with, you guys just saved that guy. Like, you literally, not jokingly, like you just, he was clinically dead. Like, mm-hmm. He came back, and we did CPR. That shit works if you do it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to do it right. You got to do it right, though. Yeah. He can't be pussyfooting the compressions. You no. got to pound.
Yeah, if you got to break some ribs, you break some ribs. You have to. Yeah.
Yep, man, because you won't believe how strong the chest wall is. You're not doing nothing if you're not hitting it hard. You know?
And it's all about the compressions too. It's not so much about the breaths anymore. It's like what is it, like 20 to 1, 20 compressions to 1 breath?
It's like 30.
30 to 1 now? Okay. Yeah. See, yeah. When I originally took that class, man, way
it was like 15
back
to 2.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And you would go to 15, stop, and give the 2 breaths, remember?
Yep. Yep.
You'd go 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, and then you would stop 2 breaths and 1 and 2. Remember that? And
yep.
Then that ain't like that no more. It's basically keep pounding on the chest and shock them if you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And get the breaths in when you can.
And it makes sense because you're trying to like pump blood, you know, through the heart, right? So
right.
Doing the compressions is kind of like doing like a Valsalva, right? So you're forcing blood through.
The goal is to get the blood through, because even with the minimal amount of oxygen that's in, you know, desaturated blood. Mm-hmm. It's better than nothing.
Right.
The circulation is the key, especially if you're using the drugs, right? Because you want to get them drugs to where they need to be. You can't not pump good and the drugs be in the vein and not moving.
Yeah,
like
right.
You're using if you give them epi, you shoot, and you're not doing good compressions, the drugs aren't going to go anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
But, it was freaking nuts.
That's
man.
Fucking, that's wild, man. That's crazy. That's we're ready to end the show now. That was a
great
story.
Yeah, I know. And I was thinking to myself, and I'm reading these posts about these people moaning about their their diet plan.
Oh, jeez.
Like, bro.
Isn't that just
like a lot more worse? There's way crazier things in the world going on right now.
I know. People just got to have perspective, man. People get so caught up in the one aspect of their life they get caught up in, that's a meager thing like bodybuilding. Hey, I love bodybuilding. I'm, you know, that's my life. I'm a bodybuilder for life. I'll die with a dumbbell in my hand, probably, you know?
Yeah, me too. But that shit will put shit in perspective quick.
Yeah, but then you stop worrying about things like, oh, did I hit my macros today? Do I have enough carbs left today?
Did I drink enough water?
You fucking <can't. laughs> oh, Jesus Christ. So, man, that guy, was it technically, did he have a heart attack? Or
yeah,
what? He did have a heart attack.
I'm
okay.
Sure he had an MI. He was probably having it when he walked in.
Yeah, purple. Yeah.
You know, we didn't even know his name. Like, he didn't even get a chance to give us his ID. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as he sat down and told our front desk person, apparently, I mean, I wasn't out there. I was doing other things.
Yeah.
This is just what he told me afterwards. He said, as soon as he sat down, he said, I can't breathe. And he said he was just sweating, and he just went out and fell out of the chair. You know, and a big guy like that, he fell face, you know, bigger guy like that, he falling face down, probably putting in even worse respiratory compromise
right
off the bat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, look, chances are he's got a sleep apnea, you know, kind of guy, and they can't sleep on their bellies. You're automatically, you know, you ever hear the cops, they cuff someone from behind and they lay them face down in the car and the patient ends up dying? You ever heard stuff like that?
No, never heard them dying. That's crazy.
Yeah, I've read stories where police officers, you know, will accidentally, you know, whatever.
What, asphyxiate?
Double cuff someone from behind and they'll lay them in the car face down with the hands behind their back. I've heard crazy, like, I've read stories like that.
Wow.
And because they can't breathe on their belly, like, you know.
Was this guy a fat guy? Would he have a big belly?
Yeah, he was a big guy.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I think even, you know, because he fell face down, that quick little bit of time he was on his face, on his belly, that will compromise your respiratory status just by itself, right? Because you can't move your diaphragm with your belly down.
Of course, of course.
Right. You know, so that didn't help.
Man,
and
that's crazy.
Had to get him rolled over, so that didn't help. But man, I was really proud of the people I work with, because
yeah, it should be. Jeez.
Most of our day is sitting there between patients joking about, can you believe that guy came in with that little hurt finger? God, these people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's not an ER. It's, you know, I can't believe that guy walked in there what's the kind of clinic you run there?
It's urgent care.
Urgent care. Like, you know,
I mean, it's basically your doctor's office, like your family doctor. That's you know, that's open 12 hours a day, and we don't take. And we can do a little bit more. We have X-ray. We can do stitches. We have all that stuff. But you know, if you think you're having a stroke or heart attack or you get shot or, you know, in a major accident or serious abdominal pain, really go – everyone, if you're listening, go to the ER with those things.
Absolutely. That guy is nuts, man. The fact that he made it is incredible because he walked into the wrong office, you know. And it's like he's lucky that you guys were so heavily trained. Obviously, you're medical experts.
That's what I'm saying. I think he walked into the right office for doing the wrong thing because if he may have walked in some other place, he may have had some people that panicked and didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I but that happens all the time. Like, because I think people, well, first of all, I think some people, well, I get a lot of this. I'll have people come in and like, remember the story I told about the straight up heart attack? And I was like, oh my God, this is real. Like he's having a heart attack.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was a lady, I think, but that was a person, I think, whose family wanted to take her to the ER, but she was hesitant to go anywhere. And so she agreed to at least come see us. Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, ERs are busy as shit.
Yeah.
And if they think you don't have a real problem, you're going to sit there all day and wait for your name to be called. Literally, you might sit 12 hours. If they look at you at the window, believe me. When you go in, you sign in for my left shoulder hurts in the emergency room, or I have a cough, and the lady looking at you is going.
They're doing the pain tolerance test on you without you knowing it, right?
Yeah, they're looking at you. Or if you go in with chest pain, they'll call you back real quick, do an EKG. And then they'll have someone quickly look at the EKG. And if it's normal, you're going to find yourself sitting in the waiting room for 45 hours, you know, because they're like, the doctor's got better things to do. And then, so a lot of people don't want to deal with that. So they come to us and sometimes, you know, just because of that, they end up there for things that really we are not equipped for. But we have to at least do the best we can to get them stabilized. So anyway, it was crazy, man. I was like, holy shit. But he woke up. I was like, that's all that matters.
That's a wild story, man. That's crazy. Yeah. I guess you're going to have that. I mean, well, throughout your career, that may not be the only one, you know? It could be.
Yeah, but I mean, it hasn't happened like in a
long time, sure.
Oh, yeah. Like I haven't seen that.
It's not
in my office.
Not in urgent care. Yeah. No. Yeah.
But he's just lucky, man. He's really lucky. It wasn't his day, you know?
Wow.
I think that's more than having helped him. I think the real thing was it just wasn't his time to go.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Hopefully he wakes up and thinks that too. And maybe he could make some lifestyle changes, you know? I mean,
get his ass.
I don't know his history basically, but you know, I could tell by looking at him that he could use some health changes. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Some protein and some weightlifting. Yeah.
Yeah. A little cardio, maybe a little reduced carbohydrates.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's getting a second chance. I hope he takes advantage of it.
Yeah. Me too. I hope people get a wake up call sometimes, you know?
So let's change the subject because that was depressing. how's the training going? Any new changes or doing anything different?
No, nothing really. I'm still trying to mess around with different GH protocols and because I've got all this fucking GH sitting here and it just you know it's like
from
I've got
your doctor.
Right prescribed. But yeah, I'd nothing's really working, man. I'm getting way too many. You know what? Even from good quality peptides, I still get nasty side effects. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. I might have to. I don't have an answer. You know, training's going good. That's good.
By the look of you for all the years, whatever you're doing, it works for you. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I'll just keep training and eating instead.
Yeah, hitting the Mickey D's every couple days.
Yeah, I'm on like a current like somewhat of like a dieting. It's not really dieting, but it is relatively low carb. Like I'm only eating like 100 to 130 grams of carbs a day, depending on what day it is and what day I'm training or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then one day a week, usually it's on a Wednesday. We'll go out for supper somewhere and have like a big giant meal. And then on Saturday, I'll also do the same thing. So I'm still getting like two giant cheat meals a week, just to keep myself sane, you know? But I'm already getting up and pissing eight times a night, you know, getting rid of all this water.
Oh, that's always a good sign.
So it's a good sign something's happening. And I can't be using any peptides like daily. I can't because like I'll have fucking udders growing out of my chest in a matter of weeks, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm on the eat good all day diet.
Yeah.
And then I'm on the eat what I want at night diet.
Hey, that's vacation time. That sounds good to me. I see you go out sometimes at nighttime. I'm like, ooh, where's he going now?
No, the key, the word is we go out every night.
Yeah.
We eat perfect all day, and then we go out and we have a meal.
Is there a lot of places to go down there, or is it?
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
because it's heavily touristy, right? So there's
it's
lots
all
of people.
Yeah. It's vacation town. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's where people come to go to the beach and bring their families for a week. Yeah. We walk around and you can see it's funny. Like we're here during the week and we do a lot of the stuff like fun stuff we want to do. Like we won't go anywhere near the beach on the weekend.
It's too much, right?
There's a million people there.
Yeah.
And you can see it. Like, we're here, you know, all week and, you know, everything. So during the week, it's like the people who live here. So it's just like kind of normal. Still busy, but, you know, not as packed.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, when I'm at work, if I'm driving down, man, the traffic is crazy.
And then
you get down here and there's cars everywhere. And you try to go up to the boardwalk and you can't, you know, it's just packed and there's people everywhere. And you go on a Tuesday and there's like a 50% drop off. So that's when we go and like if we want to go to a restaurant we like or try something different or, you know, a cool spot, we'll go like, you know, because like a lot of the restaurants, they'll have like beach seating outside. Stuff
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
That's fucking great.
If we want to do shit like that, we'll wait till Sunday night or Monday night or Tuesday night.
That's good.
Because you go on a Saturday night down here, like the pictures we took out on that that was a restaurant we were at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those pictures we took of the family on that little beach. That little restaurant has its own little beach and shit. It's on the bay.
It looked nice, man. It looked really
nice.
Yeah,
it was chilling. If we went there on Saturday night, we wouldn't have been able to sit. I mean, we wouldn't have got a table for 5 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we walked right in, whatever day that was. It was 2 days ago. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we do. And then,
so it's pretty touristy, and you got a lot of different places to eat. Is there any Indian restaurants over there?
I haven't seen one, but there's something. I've seen some Thai restaurants, and I've never had Thai food. Is that any good?
Thai food's pretty good, man. It's
spicy, right?
Yeah, it can be. Depends on what you order, but it's very like it's very soupy. Like a lot of the meals are very like soup like. You know?
Oh yeah, I'm not thinking that. I like meat.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, meat, rice.
I like carne.
Bread.
Carne you know? Asada.
I like you're not gonna find Indian food in a beach town. It doesn't correlate. You know what I mean? Like you go eat Indian food, you end up on the toilet all day. You can't be shitting your pants at the beach.
But
you know?
Honestly, here's been my diet. Ready? I've been doing this like every day. And then we go out at night. I get up, I do 3 whole eggs and a cup of egg whites.
Okay.
And that's all I eat in the morning and I go train.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the day I've basically been doing a couple basmati with 2 packs of tuna,
mm-hmm.
and some cucumbers.
Okay.
And I use that. I found this spicy, sour, some kind of mustard. And man, the shit is banging.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's basically what I've been doing during the day. I've been doing tuna and rice and eggs.
Oh, God. I can't do tuna with rice.
I've been doing it with the rice and the spicy mustard and throw some cucumbers in there. It's not a spicy mustard. It's like sweet and spicy. Hmm. It's fucking good, dude. It's like – I think I put a picture of it on one of my Instagram stories. This shit is good. Like it makes the tuna even – it's fucking good. I've been addicted to that meal. I'm eating tuna and rice all the time. Every time I eat it, I was funny because I was thinking, I'm like VJ would be gagging. Right
oh,
now.
I'm enjoying it. You're just describing it makes me want to throw up in my mouth. Yeah,
you got to do it. You got to do the tuna.
Oh God, no, I can't.
Some cucumbers.
I can't. I can't even look at tuna, man. I have like such a bad aversion. Like even tuna sitting in a can, you know.
It's inside
of a can. I'll walk by it and I'll cringe, you know.
See, it's so convenient down here for me because
that's a handy thing. Convenience
the drainable,
is huge.
You know, you can buy the pouches, right? And they're like 10 for 10, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I buy the Uncle Ben's steamer bag basmati rice. Boom. Mm-hmm. Throw that in a bowl, suck it down with some mustard, you're good to go.
I can't.
Right?
I can't do it. I need to have like a meat. I can't have a fish with my rice, man. It's too gross, you know?
I love it. It gets to like almost like a paste.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't do that with rice. It's not the right consistency, man. I can't do it.
Spoon that shit right down. And then I've been doing
a paste. So
I've been doing like 2 meals of that and then 2 meals of basically just grass-fed beef burgers.
Nice.
And, you know, vegetable or lettuce. And then we go out to dinner and I have what I want. That's kind of how I've been doing it down here.
Yeah? What's the weight? Yeah. How has the weight been doing? Been climbing a little bit or no?
Actually, I did. Since the dawn of the summer started. But I've been steady, like 210, just staying right there.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like right at 210. Hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
I could make it change because there's lots of food to eat down here.
Oh, I bet. 230 is right around the corner if you let it.
No. I think if I keep doing this, what I've been doing, I think I'm good. Like, I think I'll stay where I'm at till it's diet time. But actually, after summer's over, I'm going to do a little – Maybe hit 220.
Yeah.
Right before the holidays. Yeah, and then I'm going to do the Boxing Day.
The Boxing Day diet. That's how we do it.
I didn't call it that before this year, but that's kind of what I did. You know, actually, I used to start even earlier than that. I remember it was like right after, like November 1st, I would start. And I dieted all the way through the freaking holidays like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I did the same thing, man. I used to do that all the time. I used to start.
I like the Boxing Day idea. It keeps you close to summer. It's enough time where you can do it.
Yeah. 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 I like, I used to always do it in October, you know? I would enjoy like the first month or so of NFL and pizza, you know?
Well, see, that's why this year was good, because of that. Yeah. I let it go through the. Excuse me, football season.
Yeah, see, when you let it go through the football season, yeah, it's highly enjoyable, right? and then you're ready, because you know, once you've had a surplus of calories for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, you're pretty much ready to start dieting. Your body's gotten used to all these extra calories. You know, your metabolism is just beginning to probably slow down a little bit. Insulin's resistance probably creeping up a little bit. And it's at that point where your body's like, okay, I'm ready. And it'll start like just shedding the fat off, man. It'll, you know, the water will just come right off too.
Oh, yeah. You know? I think a lot of it's water anyway.
Most of it's water, man. For me, it's water. Like I will lose in a cut period. I can lose up to 30 pounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like I don't have 30 pounds of body fat on me.
Exactly.
You know, it's like 20 pounds is water at least, and maybe 5 to 10 pounds of fat, you know. And that's how actually most people are, believe it or not. You know, most people, even those guys walking around with big beer bellies, a lot of that shit is inflammation and water retention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not all visceral fat. I'm sure there's lots of it though. But you know, I would say a good half of that is just inflammation and water retention.
Yeah, if you put them on a low-carb diet, they're going to be like, oh, I dropped 25 pounds in 9 days, right. And it's all fluid. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So people are better off than they think they are, for the most part, you know? It's just a matter of them just being fucking lazy, you know?
Yeah, they can't avoid – You people just can't say no to anything.
No, you can't. Everyone's like, oh, YOLO. You know, you only live once. And then, and you know, next thing you know, it's Reese's peanut butter cups and ice cream all day. You know,
I see. I'm so terrible. I mean, I hate when I do this, but I'm always in line at the store just looking at what someone else in front of me has. And I'm like,
judging them.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I do the same thing.
Why are you fucking buying that? Like, it'll be 8 o'clock. I'll be on my way to work. It's like 7:20. There'll be a dude in front of me with – oh my God, do you know what the worst things I've ever seen are? And I'm like, why do they even sell them? I don't know. I don't even know how to explain them, but they're basically, they're like a big fucking piece of, it's a sticky bun, right?
Okay.
But it looks dry. They're not like good looking. They're in a pack. We got them here at this Wawa, and I see these people buying these, and they'll be like almost like a big round.
Are they like Hostess or something?
No, they're
or
like no name brand. I don't know what the fuck they are, but they're basically like big round. It almost looks like if you had a bun, mm-hmm. like a hamburger roll, but just a big piece of bread, man. And they put some glaze on top.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, gross.
And you know, I'll be seeing, and you look at the pack, it's like 100 grams of carbs for one serving, you know what I mean? And it's like, how many servings? There's two. And they're eating this big biscuit thing. And then I look and they'll have a fucking. A Mountain Dew, and watch them make their coffee, and they're dumping sugar. I'm like, you could do all you have to do is just half of that, and you'd be good.
Oh
like,
man, it's crazy.
Those damn bread. I see those cinnamon buns.
Oh my God.
Those kind of things. I can't. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take a picture of one today and post it on my Instagram so everyone can see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you should.
Dude, those things are basically nothing but diabetes. I mean, there's nothing. It's just diabetes in a package. I mean, there's no reason to eat that. It's just a big. Why don't you just fucking eat a loaf of bread? Bring a loaf with you, a whole fucking loaf of white bread, and throw some cinnamon and sugar on it, and just pound that because that's basically what you're doing. It's probably better for you because you made it yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at that going, God, I can't imagine what my blood sugar would do if I ate that.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing. Yeah. I walking.
I don't have any sugar problems, but I mean.
Just picking up, picking up a package of those things probably raises your blood sugar a little bit.
That's what I mean.
You start smelling it,
You know how when you're really dieting and then you have a big cheat meal with lots of carbs or whatever, and you just start to heat and the sweat goes with you? Like when you eat a piece of cake if you're doing a cheat meal and you've been really dieting and you just sweat and you're hot. And I can imagine I'm not even dieting, and if I ate one of them, it would make me sweat.
Did you know that just the aroma and the smell of some of those things can release insulin? Do you know that?
I completely believe it because I look at it and I'm like, that's making me nervous.
Yeah. You start sweating like, oh my God, this is so difficult to resist temptation. I'll take three.
And then I look and I'm like, and then, I'll see people. I'm like, and then me and Chrissy talk, I think we talked about this before. I'm like, what would I look like? Because I look at some people and they're eating like that every day, but they don't look terrible. I mean, they're not muscular or anything, but it's just like, how are you not 400 pounds? I'd be 400 pounds.
I'm such an asshole. I'm old and grouchy now, and like I'll walk into the grocery store with nothing but contempt and disgust on my face at the people around me. I look at their grocery cart and I look at them and I'll just like shake my head.
Yeah, you look and it's just all like, what the fuck are you doing, I look and there'll be like 10 bags of pasta and
cereal,
donuts and tons of cereal and Pop Tarts all in the same basket. I'm like, that's not good.
Oh
like,
my God.
It's crazy.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It looks delicious.
Right. Well, exactly. I mean, I love to eat like that too, but it's just like, it'll kill you. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to fucking take a picture of one of those buns and put it on my Instagram story. Cause when I see this thing, I just think to myself, I'm not even talking about people eating. I just see it sitting there and I'm like, that is so unnecessary. Like, why do they even make that? It doesn't even look appetizing, but I see people buying them and they'll buy them with like a big orange juice.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I was just about to say that. They'll be like, oh, I'm going to get these sticky buns for breakfast. I'm going to wash them down with a 2 liter of Mountain Dew.
With some healthy orange juice.
Yeah. Healthy orange juice.
Blood sugar is 700 in 3 seconds.
Orange juice, some concentrate though, because I don't want the sugar stuff, right?
Yeah, because artificial sweetener will kill you.
Oh my God, it's so bad.
I'm doing it. I can't forget to do that today.
Yeah, you should do it.
So look, I'm out here recording, and I can hear my dogs are acting. I think they can hear me. They're at the door and they're like freaking out. Oh. They're inside.
They're like scratching at the door, whining a little bit. They know you're out there.
Yeah, Chrissy just walked out and went for her run on this path. One of the reasons she don't want to go home is because we had. Down right about a quarter mile down the road, there's like a state park.
Oh, okay, yeah. So there's trails and stuff.
Yeah, yep. And she goes down there every day and does her cardio, and she fucking loves going down there. And
oh,
she's
I
like,
bet, man.
Yeah, and actually, crazy. I went with her 2 days ago. I went and trained, and then I met her down there for some outdoor cardio, and I was impressed. I actually was running a little bit. And
what?
I was like, holy shit, I can still run a little bit, man.
You're like, my hips and knees still work. What's
going on? But then after we were done, how if you do something like that and then you just go rest for a while and you sit, everything was tightening up. And I'm like, my legs yesterday morning, was it 2 days ago? The other morning were so sore. I felt like I was doing like heavy squats for hours. I'm like, holy shit, what was that?
Yeah, I noticed that when I, even if I do sprints or something, my quads get so pumped.
Yes, dude, I had veins popping out. I was telling her while we were running, I'm like, I got a fucking pump in my legs now.
But it's like it kills the. I mean,
but your joints hurt too.
The whole purpose is destroyed, right? I mean, you do a sprint and then you're done. Right? Like legs are pumped. You're not going to get anything more out of it by still running after that. You know what I mean? It's like those muscle fibers are completely different for running rather than anaerobic activity like we're used to. So we trained our bodies into producing this one type of muscle fiber that when we try to do something like like running or even biking. Biking's the worst, man. You start biking, the quad pumps are retarded, and then you got to bike your ass home.
My fucking knees. Every time, even when I ride the exercise bike, the stationary bike. I'm done, I'll be if I put the resistance up, I can get a crazy pump. Then I stand up and my knees are like, fuck.
I actually been doing that on one of my leg days, one of my lower body training days.
Yeah.
I'll do. I'll start off with like intervals, not cardio, but just intervals on the bike. I'll just go slow, and then 15 seconds hard, and then slow. So I'll do that for about 5-10 minutes, and dude, my legs. My entire lower body is ready to squat after that. Like I'm
hell yeah. You like probably got all the good blood flow in there. Pumps.
I got veins in my quads. Yeah. So I like it for a purpose, but if I were to do a fucking marathon, I'm pretty sure I would actually tear something or I would have a heart attack. One of the two.
It took me, one thing I did notice, it took me a while, you know, we would walk, do a little jog, but it took me a while to then get warmed up kind of.
Yeah.
Once I was warmed up, I was going. I was like, oh, I can still run. I'm not as old as I fucking thought I was.
You can do it.
It brought me back to my old days when I was eating a can of tuna fish a day and running 10 miles and lost 100 pounds when I was a fatty.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are.
It was actually really fun.
Well, yeah. At the time, sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like any fun right now.
No.
Doc, we've got some questions. We've got some questions here from the board. Go to forum.advicesradio.com. Go to the bodybuilding discussions link. Click on that, and there you will see all the shows. You'll see Muscle Minds, Blood, Sweat, and Gear, Clinical Muscle, Strength Up. All the show links are right there where you can post questions, post away, completely anonymous, or you can always go to clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. Try not to send us Instagram stuff or Facebook stuff if you can. Please. Only because we get so many of them that there's a good chance that we'll miss a question or two, you know. So
yeah, and I think I did that this week because I scrolled back through and couldn't find it. I'm like an idiot, but
yeah, so I'm the same way. People will send questions and stuff, and I'm like, yep, all right, we'll take care of it. And then
yeah. It's hard to keep track.
And then I go back to find it, I can't find it anywhere, you know. So.
And then you know the board is our priority really, so we have to hit them first. And by the time we get through all them, we kind of forget to do the other ones, and
So
not on purpose. Definitely not on purpose.
No, this is just this is how we keep some order in this madness,
right?
You know, so
because we're disorganized anyway.
Yeah, this is all by the seat of our pants, and everything's made up. So
yeah, we don't have some big fancy company helping us out, and we're not you know getting flown to a studio on Tuesday morning and sitting in there with mics and shit.
That would be nice, though. That would be fun.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
How can we arrange that?
I don't know.
We need to find a big company to back us and do all the shows right in a big studio. We just fly out every Sunday.
Damn right. Scott McNally, get to it.
That would be pretty fun. I bet it would sound way better, too, than the trailer park with the birds chirping.
Yeah, pay for our plane tickets and everything. I don't want the hotel accommodations, you know?
Oh, do it right in Michigan. I'll fly out there every Sunday morning.
There you go. I've got the Princess Suite up there and a gym right for you guys. Yeah. I don't got any trails or anything, so Chrissy's going to have to run in place instead.
Exactly. She'll get on the B&R bike.
Yeah, there you go. So we're going to go to the boards here, Doc. First question here from our good friend UC Suma. Two questions for my favorite 2.3, Doc. Ooh, 2.3. We're growing.
Dude, that's almost a C, a real C. Like 2.5, I think, is a C average.
Yeah, that's right. Beach is growing like a monster. Extra credit. Ooh, thank you for saying that. I'm really not. It's just a lot of water retention in the right spots is all.
Good.
When counting water intake for the day, what counts? Plain water, obviously, but what if you add BCAAs, flavor packets, coffee, tea, pop? What are your thoughts? That's the first question. He's got another question after that.
Honestly, for me, I've always counted. So to me, I mean, plain water obviously is the best, you know, if you're someone who can tolerate that. And honestly, I haven't. This is the craziest thing. I think maybe I said this before, maybe I haven't. But when I drink plain water without putting like, you know, Crystal Light in it or Mio or something else like that, you know, a calorie free something, if I drink several of them in a row, I get heartburn from plain water.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why. The only thing I've hypothesized was that you're drinking the H2O. Maybe some of those hydrogens are getting, you know, breaking off and helping increase hydrochloric acid in your stomach because there's more hydrogen and chloride. I don't know. And then when you put something like a Mio in it, it has some like, you know, those things have like, you know, potassium sorbate and things like that. They're more alkaline. Maybe they buffered a little bit. I don't know.
Sure.
But anyway.
Sure.
So I've always counted water. I've always counted things like Crystal Light. I've always counted. If I put Mio in it, I count BCAAs. I mean, I don't drink them all day long. I drink them probably when I do, you know, during my cardio. Like I always said, you know, everyone knows I like my fake Sivation BCAAs. Although I had a good one lately. I'm just going to give a quick shout out, not a shout out, but like update. I gave Redcon One a try, and their grunt is freaking good.
What's
and
it?
It's
What's
EAA.
It? Oh,
it's
a, EAA.
It's essential.
Gotcha.
It's got them all, and it tastes awesome.
Excellent. Great.
Actually,
I love it.
I also got their pre-workout and recently. And their products, I honestly was really impressed. And I had my own reasons for never trying them. But I kind of I don't know. I forget if I how I came. Oh, I know how I came across it. I was in the vitamin shop, and I was surprised to see it there. And I just said, you know what? Fuck it. Let me try it. So I bought the EAA's a grunt, and I bought Total War. And honestly, man, I like their products a lot. So anyway, that's a quick. So I would count, you know, BCAAs as fluid, even mm-hmm. and essentials if you put them in there. But I'm not drinking them all day long. I don't really count things with caffeine in them because I just have this thought that it's going to diurese you. The caffeine's a diuretic. So whether that's real or not, so I always try, if I'm trying to hit a gallon of water, I always try to, which I always drink way more than that because I drink constantly. I'm sitting here thirsty right now. I always try to get at least a gallon or more a day, you know, and I only count in my mind the water that I either drink by itself or put Mio or something in. I drink a ton of Diet Coke, and I don't count that because I also drink a ton of other fluids. That's just how I do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm of the belief that fluid is fluid no matter what.
See, I'm kind of on the yeah. – I'm right there kind of with you. I just decaffeinated ones. I kind of out of my mind even
yeah.
though I drink tons of them.
I know,
leave them out as –
I know what you. I know what you mean because, like, you know, coffee, tea, they can have a diuretic effect. Here's the thing, though: when we're dealing with like, you know, bodybuilders and people that are so used to stimulants, a lot of these coffees and teas, they're drop in the bucket, man. When it comes to stimulants, you know what I mean? It's like we're so overstimmed, anyways, that stuff's really not going to have that much of it. It'll have a diuretic effect at first. But man, after years of doing that shit, forget about it. It's not going to have the same kind of effect that you think it might have. It can, depending on, you know, I guess, you know, how your training is set up and how your, you know, how your body responds to stimulants and stuff. But for the most part, fluid is fluid. Any fluid going in should be counted as water, technically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the fence with the caffeine and stuff. So if I had a coach, say you were coaching me, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, Steve, you got to have at least a gallon a day.
Okay.
I would make sure that I bought a gallon of water
mm-hmm.
and I drank that down in addition to what any Diet Cokes I may have.
Gotcha.
I obviously would tell you that. But then in my mind, I know I got the quote water. And even if I put BCAAs in them or if I put Mio or Crystal Light, I would count that. And then everything else is kind of like icing on the cake for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And honestly,
and,
man.
And I'm with you, though. I'm not one of those guys that doesn't believe that I drink a Diet Coke and it doesn't hydrate me a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I don't believe that. I mean, it makes you piss, right? Something's happening.
That's
the way I keep it straight.
That's probably like the most common question I get as a coach and I've gotten as a coach in my entire foray as a coach.
I've thought of it. I thought of it my whole life myself. I've always thought, what do I do here? You know, but that's the way
people are always asking, okay, so I've got my food, I got my training. How much water should I drink? I'm just like, who fucking cares? Just drink when you're thirsty. Drink how you normally would. You shouldn't have to target 2 gallons, 3 gallons, 4. It's fucking retarded. All you're doing is diluting the system. If your body will tell you when you're thirsty, drink when you're thirsty. Obviously, you need water when you train. It's probably a good idea when you're drinking water. When you're training to have some sort of sodium in you already, otherwise all you're doing is diluting the system, and it's not going to help you with pumps or anything. So water is great, but water is a very, very small tool. Like, just drink when you're thirsty. That's all you got to do. You know, you don't have to force. We as humans are so over fucking waterlogged anyways, retain so many like pounds of water always. So it's, you know, you're not going to die. You're not going to tear something. You know, it's just – I think the whole water intake thing is a lot of fucking bogus, you know.
Something that makes me think of something else that I deal with in medicine, right? You can hear me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I was using the mute button as much as I can.
for the birds and stuff?
For the birds and stuff.
I like them. You just leave them. I like them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So a lot of times I'm going to come in with like really bad vomiting, diarrhea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say – have you been drinking fluids? And they'll say, oh yeah, I'm keeping down lots of water.
Mm.
And my immediate response is that's good, but that's probably maybe making you worse. Because
right.
if you're shitting out tons of water, diarrhea, and you're puking, you're losing potassium and sodium like crazy. And you're drinking a gallon of water. If you're keeping it down somehow, you're just further diluting that electrolyte.
Exactly.
I always tell people you need to use an electrolyte solution, you know, Powerade, exactly. Ginger ale. Exactly. I like to have people do like the Powerade Zero or Gatorade, the G2, the low calorie, because some of the, you know, if you're puking, especially diarrhea, a whole thing of Gatorade has pretty good amount of sugar in it.
Yes.
And sugar is an osmotic agent, right? So you put that in the gut and you're going to draw more fluid in there and maybe increase the diarrhea. But you got to get those electrolytes in, whether however you can do it, you know. But pounding a gallon of water when you have diarrhea is probably lowering your sodium worse.
Yeah, yeah.
So use some kind of electrolyte solution, Pedialyte, absolutely. Gatorade. I like the G2 because it doesn't have as much sugar, Powerade Zero, kind of things like that. But that's just a side thought.
Yeah, water is good, but mineral retention is more important. Right. So you got to have a balance between your water intake and your mineral retention. And that's the real balancing act there. Not so much, I mean, you could pound water all day. It doesn't mean it's good for you. You can drown yourself. You know, you drink too much. It's not, you shouldn't have a water goal for the day. I think it's all very ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it should just be consistent, but I've actually seen people with like schizophrenia, you know, they get into these sort of you know, ritualistic type things, you know, where they smoke 7 cigarettes in a row or, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. And some of them have what's called psychogenic polydipsia. Mm. And some of that is just in your mind, is it just a psychogenic thing? But some of it can be caused by a lot of the antipsychotics. And dude, they'll drink so much water that they'll drop their sodium down and like have, you know, ooh, brain swelling, like seizures.
Yeah.
Shit like
see,
that.
That's,
yeah.
That's awful. God damn.
So that's one of the, if someone comes in with a sodium, like 118, 115, there's a couple things you got to look for besides brain problems and severe dehydration is psychogenic polydipsia. There's also something called alcoholics can get called beer podomania, where they drink so much, they do the same thing. Mm. Anyway, that's just, I don't know why I thought that. But it's an interesting shit that people can do that to themselves.
Very interesting.
You drink 4 or 5 gallons of water, you can drop your sodium so low, you can end up with fucking brain swelling, hyponatremia, and fucking have seizures and shit. So,
yeah.
None of us do that, but I'm just saying, like, oh, I hear a bus going by. Can you guys hear the bus? Oh, it's the trash truck. I'm sorry.
I can't. We can barely hear it, I think. So.
It's the neighborhood trash truck.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But, so the biggest thing about water intake is salt your fucking foods.
Yeah.
That's basically it. If you're salting your foods, then your water is just kind of complimentary. Your body will tell you as much as you need, you know. So don't avoid salt or potassium, really. Both are really very, quite good for you. Magnesium, calcium, those are more important than your water intake. He has a second part to his question, though, here, Doc. He says, what's your take on creatine monohydrate? Have you known it to cause GI distress in yourselves or clients?
I don't have any clients. So
patients. I mean, how about patients? Anybody fucking out of creatine?
Nah, the patients I deal with aren't all trying to take creatine. Yeah. They might be trying to take cocaine, but not creatine. No.
Some kind of white powder.
I've never myself – I got to be honest. I've never been a big creatine fan. I've never really felt it do anything for me, but I also never had a problem with it. I'm lying. I did have a problem with it one time.
Okay.
But it wasn't a GI problem.
Cramping?
When I was – what's that?
Cramping?
No.
No? Okay.
When I was first starting out after I lost all that weight, I think I was about 20, and I was – pounding the creatine because that's what I thought I was supposed to do, 20 grams a day.
Oh, fuck.
I think I was doing the load thing,
the
you know?
Load, yeah, load 1 week. Okay, yeah.
And I also was, you know, training and running. And anyway, I had chest pain really bad one time. I mean, I remember it was like 20. And Chrissy was worried, so she took me to the hospital. We're kids, you know? We're 20 years old. She's like, it's fuck, are you dying or whatever? So we go in there and they do the whole cardiac workup on me, and they come back to me, and he's like, hey, you look like you lift weights. Do you use creatine? And I said, I just started using it. Like, he's like, how much are you taking? I told him, and he's like, yeah, you got to back that down because your creatinine level's up. Mm. So I don't know if that was related to that or not, or if it's because I was dehydrated. Maybe my chest was because I was lifting and working out too hard.
Yeah.
But ever since then, I had this little paranoia about that. And I've used it off and on through the years, and I never really – you know what? It's cheap and easy to use, but I just feel like I didn't notice anything, so why should I even bother? But to answer his question, I've never had a stomach problem with it.
I've had some clients that have gotten like a diarrhea from it.
Ooh, I got a good one. Real quick.
I don't know if that was like a bad product or what, but typically creatine should not cause a diarrhea. I guess it all depends on your water balance too. But what were you gonna say, Doc?
Oh, real quick. This is funny. He should bring this up. There is a BPAC show out right now. I know this is the body. This is the branching into the nerds here.
Muscle Expert Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Muscle Expert Podcast out right now. And there's a guy on named Dr. Darren Willoughby.
Okay.
It was a great show. I listened to it yesterday. But
is that the one on protein intake? Diving deep into protein?
Yeah.
Okay.
Funny thing is, you see, he actually had that problem. He can't do creatine. He's tried all different ones because of GI problems.
Ah, see?
So check that out if you want something to listen to. He's really smart, too. And I looked him up. He's a pretty big dude, too.
Good.
It was a good show. Anyway, not to... So, yeah, I never had a problem with it. I don't use it. I just didn't find it worth my time. Whatever.
I like it. I'm a big fan of it. If it works for you and it doesn't cause any GI distress or it doesn't cramp you too bad, then I'm a big fan. I've always used it. I use it as a natty. I use it now. I can tell when I'm not using it. The muscles are way fuller with creatine monohydrate. My lifts are better. My strength is better. My endurance is the same, but I'm a fan of it just because of its ability to draw water into the muscle. You know what I mean? You're putting that water where it needs to be for a guy who's training and bodybuilding and stuff. You know, so anyone.
I think I have a whole giant tub of it. You know, the other problem is I get lazy with stuff like that. I would never. You know, I don't do like an intra shake. You know,
no,
I would be horrible having to put together that whole shake before I went to the gym. I would totally forget every day. I would be if I bought all them ingredients and did it myself and did this and Pepto Pro and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, just give me some water or some BCAAs and I'm going to go train and I'll eat when I'm done.
Yeah,
I guess maybe that's why I'm not huge, but I just can't. I get sidetracked too easy. I got too much else going on. And I used to forget all the time the creatine.
Yeah.
And I do eat a. Oh, I used to forget it all the time when I used to try to use it. I would always forget to take it. And then, you know, I actually got a big one at home. It's been in the cabinet probably for 5 years. I'm sure it's like brick right now.
Yeah. You have to chip it apart with like an ice pick or something.
Mm-hmm.
I've
stale and shit.
I'm a fan, man. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and well, we know it works, right? There's no doubt that it works. I think just for me, I'm just lazy with that. You know, I never got into it because it's not something I could really feel, at least for me.
The one negative thing I can say is that you can start cramping pretty bad. And that,
I never had that.
And that, again, that's a mineral and water balance issue, too. So creatine is kind of like throwing a fork into that, and you kind of have to figure out, hey, do I need more salt or do I need more water? What do I need more right now? You know, so that's.
You're going to make me jump back on the creatine.
That's the one thing, you know, that you got to kind of deal with. Not everybody gets it, but I've seen it time and time again. I get it myself, too. So, but yeah, otherwise, no, I'm a fan, man. But you know, anything that bothers your guts, forget about it. It's never going to help you. You know what I mean?
I'm starting to learn that more and more, man. There's lots of things I've been eating and going away from and
cutting
things like
out,
that. Like, yeah, man, I pretty much stopped eating broccoli altogether. I mean,
there's no reason for it if your guts can't handle it. You know,
I ate so much of it and I always had gas. And nowadays I'm thinking that's just not worth it. So, you know, little things like that, I start to go away from because I'm thinking, well, what was the big deal about broccoli? You know?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Next question here from the boards. Hello, Docs. What is your recommended method for removing skin tags? I've had a gnarly one on in my mid back for a year. I put off getting rid of it for a while, but recently decided it's just too unsightly and would like to get it taken care of. I tried home remedies like soaking a section of paper towel and apple cider vinegar and placing that over it with a Band-Aid. Did nothing, big shocker, except stink up my bathroom. Would going to a dermatologist be my best bet? Is there any chance it will return to the same spot after it's been removed by a dermatologist? I'm not overweight. I don't have diabetes. Those seem to correlate with skin tags, according to my research.
Yeah, he's right.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Doc?
Well, see, home remedies, I've never had to deal with skin tags, home remedies, because I take them off when I'm at the office. But long story short is, it sounds like he knows what he's doing, but don't ever go taking something off your body that, you know, like try to take a mole off by yourself or something like that, because, man, you never know. It might look like something, like nothing, and it could have been a skin cancer, but skin tags are pretty easy to see. They're firm, they're hard, they look like they're on little stalks, they're really mobile, you can move them around, you can pull on them like silly, like string. Actual home remedy that I've heard of and read about, I've never had to do it because people come to me to take them off, and I'll tell you how I do that. You can read somewhere, if you get right around the base of the skin tag, sort of pull on it and tie a little bit of dental floss at the bottom and make it tight and just make sure you don't get any fresh skin in there, and you leave that there. So basically you're going to ligate that over time. It's going to get necrotic and fall off. That's a little home remedy I've read people do. But the easiest thing to do is go to your family doctor. We can take them off in 7 seconds. I use a little bit of topical cold spray. Get a little ice ball around it, little alcohol pad, pull it up with a pair of, and then have some like nice straight scissors. And I just cut it off right at the base. Most of the time they won't even bleed unless you nick the skin. And if they do, I just dap it with a little bit of silver nitrate and it's gone. And I can take off 10 of them things in 3 minutes.
Nice.
Now, if they're really fat and juicy, you know, you got to be a little more careful because they can have a better blood supply and you might snip them off and then it bleeds a little more and you got to use more silver nitrate, or you might end up having to use a little bit of electric cautery. And I've had to do that for big, fat, juicy ones. But if it's a little skinny, dry, you know, little skin tag, your doctor can snip them off. And if you're like me, I wouldn't tell them, don't even numb it, just cut it. I probably could cut them off, I'd say 90% of the time, without even using the silver nitrate, as long as you don't go – if you get right in the plane, there's like a plane between the keratinized skin and your fresh skin. You get them nice sharp scissors right in that plane, you can snip them things really quick. And if they bleed, it'll be a little dot, and you put a Band-Aid over if they're small, they won't even bleed. So basically, I cut them off with scissors. That's what we do, and I use alcohol. And then if they bleed, I stab with nitrogen. So that's the only way that I would recommend getting them taken off. But I have heard people do the dental floss thing. I've even had patients come into me with the dental floss tied around it. It's not falling off. Can you just cut it? I tried myself, and I just snip it right off. And by that time, it's like, you know, it's ready to fall off anyway. So that's what I would do. I'll just go see your primary. Don't need to see a dermatologist for that. And if your doctor sends you to a dermatologist for a skin tag, I would see a new doctor.
Yeah.
Because that's silly shit. Now, here's what I would say is, even though I knew they were skin tags, I always still sent them off for pathology, which is why I was saying, don't take shit off your body without knowing exactly what it is. Because I had a story I was told when I was a youngin' from a doctor who I was training under, who ended up in a lawsuit over a quote skin tag, which, you know, of course, I know this guy and it absolutely was a skin tag. But what happened was, the patient that he took it off 5 years later went to some other doctor and he ended up with melanoma.
Oh, fuck.
And they were like, yeah, they did scans. They're like, yeah, you've had this for a while. Have you ever had anything else taken off your body? And he said, yeah, my doctor 5 years ago took a skin tag off my neck. And so they were doing some – they just wanted to see, you know, if he had it that long. So one way or another – they called for medical records, and my friend, the guy that I trained under, never sent it out for pathology. He just threw it away. because he knew it was a skin tag. And they claim that, well, that may have been melanoma. Now he wouldn't be stage four malpractice.
Jeez.
He couldn't prove that it wasn't because he didn't send it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he 100% knew it. Look, skin tags are very – everyone who's listening to me right now knows what a skin tag is. It's the people with the things on their neck, like they look like pinhead. You know, you got the – if they get really bad, they're like little things sticking out.
Yeah.
So that's why – and they used to look at me like I was crazy when I would say, we're going to send all 11 of these out for pathology. And they're like, what? And I'd be like, yeah, nah, I got learned early about that.
Bro. Uh-huh, yeah, jeez. Yeah, wow, what someone's, a scare.
So just make sure that's what it is, and probably is. Anyway, yeah. You can get it snipped off in 3 seconds.
There you go. I have nothing to add to it. I know the one time that I got a skin tag, it was from using HGH consecutively.
And if you have a skin tag on your penis, it's probably a wart, which is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need a shot for that.
Some Aldera.
I had a little tiny skin tag on my neck. I didn't know what it was. I just tore it off.
Yeah, that's where they are predominantly.
Yeah, I just tore it off right away.
That's it. Yeah, if it bleeds a little bit, hold pressure on it.
Yeah, it bled. It bled like a lot, actually.
It might have been a juicy one. Hey, you can get a juicy one here and there.
Sometimes they can get some really good blood supply, but nerve supply is shit because it didn't hurt at all, right?
So. Well, that's because it's just dead keratinized skin. Like I said, if you get it right in that plane, like at the base where it attaches to the real skin, it's just dead. It's like – it's just hard. There's nothing. You could squeeze them. They don't hurt when you touch them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can come back, though. From what I understand.
Yes. Yeah, they definitely can, especially if you cut them off and sometimes you'll see there'll be a little tiny stalk still.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks fine cosmetically, but there's a chance for that to grow back from there. But at least it's gone, you know?
Yeah.
And most people don't get them taken off. Like most of the people I come in, they won't get them taken off until they like catch on their chain or they're affecting their collar at work where it's getting uncomfortable and pulling and starting to irritate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Next question. We got a question from S2H.
What?
He says, Veej, it's for me. He says, have you found a sup plan that works, or is the trial and error plan still in effect? Man, my entire bodybuilding foray has been trial and error at this point.
Mostly error.
Mostly error, because that's what that's what you learn from, you know? I don't know what S2H is referring to specifically. Maybe the HGH stuff. I don't know, because that's really the only thing I screw around with. I don't really mess around with anything else. But I'll just go ahead and say no. I have not found a sup plan that works for me. It's just food and training, and I seem to respond really well to that only.
I can't wait to see the renditions of what everyone thinks S2H looks like when they because Scott and them are having a little
contest.
Yeah.
It's an artwork contest.
That's a good one.
It is. So we'll get to see. I already saw one.
Entry, yeah, I saw it too.
And it was hilarious. So I'm looking forward to see what, because I barely know what S2H looks like. You know,
I don't know what it looks like except for like,
I picture Tom Selleck kind of looking guy. You know?
Oh my God, me too.
He's got to have a big mustache, and he carries around like a really big like firearm. You know, like a real big gun. Yeah,
like a typical Texan.
Yeah, like a
he's probably a really big motherfucker, like tall.
Yeah,
big hands.
He wears a hat.
Like, will choke you out if he needs to, military style
mustache.
And I'm sure he drives a big ass truck that like, yes. But like ours, but he's got his all souped up.
And it's lifted too. Lifted.
That's what I mean. Yeah, he's got the fucking pipes on it, the mufflers, the giant tires, so he can run you the fuck over if you cut him off.
Yeah, yeah. But that's it, S2H. I'm sorry. I'm not a very sup-heavy guy, and I'm not. Food and training, that's all that really gets me going. Next question from the boards. Hey, guys. It's the kid who got his balls lowered when he was 8 again, but got another question from about some blood work. So... he says, first off, I just got a thyroid panel, free T4 and TSH. Had slightly lower than normal T4 range and normal TSH. Not sure what this means, but just thought I'd provide an update on my wacky hormonal issue. That means
I could tell him what that means.
That just means that you're hypothyroid, essentially. That means, you know, if your TSH is pumping out normal and your T4 is less than normal, that means your body is trying to produce more T4 for you. By having that normal actually, it would be even more hypo if you had max TSH and low normal T4. You know what I mean?
We actually would call that combination a lower, like, it's still normal, but we I would call that subclinical, meaning he's about to be, could be ready to go total hypo without overt, you know, without overt symptoms, meaning weight gain, lethargy, hair loss, cold feelings. You know what I'm saying?
I would be interested to see what his T3 was. You know, if his T3 turnover is normal.
Which is basically on the little sentence he provided. That's kind of what you're going to assume.
That's what you're – that's what you're going to get. He says, my question is regarding high MCV, MCC, MCH, HC, MCH readings on blood tests. So mean corpuscle volume, mean corpuscle hemoglobin, that sort of thing. He says, on my last CBC, all these levels were just slightly out of range or right at the top end of the range. I did some reading and found it could be due to macrocytic anemia. So I got some blood tests to test my folate and B12 levels, and they were all healthy, within healthy range. B12 was actually a little higher than normal. With this data, it seems like macrocytic anemia isn't what's causing these high blood test readings. So I'm wondering what possibly could be the root cause of these high readings, and are the high readings somewhat something to worry about? What issues could they cause me down the road, if any? Okay, so what could possibly be the root causes of these high readings, Doc?
Well, so when you look at your CBC and you see your white blood cell count, your hemoglobin, your hematocrit, your red blood cell count, and then you see these letters he has here, MCV, MCH, they're called indices, meaning they're studies of the size of the cell, the volume of the cell, the shape of the cell kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he hit it right off the bat. Now, he's saying they're slightly out of range, all of them, you know? So first of all, whenever someone tells me something was slightly out of range, I honestly just poo-poo. No, I wouldn't worry about that if it's slightly out of range. Because especially in the face of a normal red blood cell count, hemoglobin count, and hematocrit count, if those things are all normal and your MCV and your MCH and your MC, all that stuff is just a little bit off, I wouldn't sweat it at all. I see that all the time with people. Okay. And that's because – look, we're always making new blood cells, right? So you got little tiny cells. You may have some bigger cells. You may have some cells that are dying. You may have some. So they might be a little bit off, but they should generally be in those indice ranges, the normal ranges. But things you really want to – so the big one here to me is MCV. And we use MCV to sort of qualify types of anemia. So if you're anemic and we look at your MCV and it's low, really low. I'm not saying slightly low. I'm like – I don't have the ranges in front of me, but I believe less than 90, really low. Then we look at things like microcytic. We call that microcytic anemia, and that's iron deficiency. Also, genetic things like alpha and beta thalassemia would cause those things. And then you flip it to anemia with a high MCV, and that's B12 folate deficiency, things like that. And if them things are all normal and your indices are just all of them are a little bit off, and your hemoglobin, hematocrit, and RBCs are normal, I would just – honestly, when I look at a CBC, I look at those numbers and the white blood cell count. If those four things are in normal range, I don't even get upset about the rest of the stuff. I actually say, oh, we're good, because things fluctuate so much. Even when you look at the white blood cells, right?
For sure.
When you do the differential, you're going to have monos, eos, neutrophils, lymphocytes, right? So if you look at the CBC and the white blood cell count's normal – and you go down and you're freaking your, you know, for whatever reason, you want to really study the differential. And you see that someone's eosinophils are high, but their neutrophils are low. And you're like, ooh, he doesn't have enough neutrophils. Well, something has to give. You can only have 100%, right? I mean, so if you're, something goes down, something's got to go up. And if the patient's not having symptoms, so that day, if their monocytes or eosinophils were up, maybe they had a little allergies going on. But if their white count's normal, don't worry about it. I think the same thing with the red cell family. If all that's normal, hemoglobin, hematocrit, RBCs, the indices are less of a concern. That's just me. And I've really never missed anything crazy in my life with doing it that way. So in his case, unless you have some kind of genetic problem, your family has a history of, you know, some type of anemias, thalassemia, beta, alpha, which would be a microcytic anyway, I would say don't worry about it.
Yeah, I can't really add anything to that, Doc. I mean, could this – I mean, say he was continually having these higher high-end readings for MCV, MCH. I would imagine I'd imagine that maybe just giving blood or I don't know, maybe this is like a genetic thing where, you know, he's right. just like, you know, that's just those are the cards he has kind of thing.
Yeah, where exactly. It's just you. I mean, it's what it is. We're all, you know, look, normal ranges are normal ranges. Yeah. You got to use them as a guide, not as a Bible.
Yeah.
What
issues could they cause for him down the road? Like anything detrimental?
I would say no, unless you start to see changes in your blood count, your hemoglobin, hematocrit, RBCs. And then what you're going to see is you're going to see let's say his hemoglobin is 15 right now, right? And, you know, his MCV is a little bit high. It's just over the out of normal. And then in 6 months he gets it, and now his hemoglobin is 12. And he sees his MCV go up, you know, 5 more points. Then you need to reassess that. And the big ones really, he already nailed them, is B12 and folate. And you could also check a homocysteine level and all this other stuff. But they're the big ones. And if they're normal, nothing. So as long as your hemoglobin and stuff is all good, your red cells are good, I wouldn't sweat them at all. And long term, no problem, because they're just indices.
Nice.
It's you. There it's you like go. If you have a small pecker.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just stuck with it.
I'm just stuck with it. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't stress over that too much unless you see some drastic changes in those major categories.
Next question from the boards, Doc. Let's say you were on doctor prescribed TRT. You did your 100 milligram injection on Mondays, followed by a half tab of ADEX on Tuesdays. After one year, all of your blood work was looking great. Now, let's say your next check-in with your doctor was in 6 months and you decided you were going to do your first blast. Number one, where do you think you'd start with your test dose? Run 300 for 16 weeks, run 400 for 12 weeks, 508, something else. And number two, how would you alter your ADEX dosage? Stay with the half tab after each injection, switch to 0.25 EOD. Thanks for indulging me, guys. I listen to the show. Fuck Palmer. Yes, sir. Fuck Palmer.
I think I might defer this one to you.
Well,
just to give your little opinion, I don't really have a great opinion on this one, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's hard to say because he says after 1 year, all the blood work was looking great. But what does that mean? Does he mean that his testosterone was in a good normal range? Does that mean that he was on the high end of the range, or is he just slightly? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, where's the testosterone going? So, say you were doing 100 milligrams every week, and that puts you in like the 700 range, like a normal functioning male. Okay, that's fine. That's great. Now you want to go up from there and you want to go into super physiological doses. If 100 milligrams is taking you to like, you know, 700 nanograms per deciliter or whatever, you know, I would probably go to like 300-400 milligrams. And I would always run that for as long as I could. I would probably run for like 16 weeks. I'd get labs after about probably 8 weeks or so. I would get labs just to see where your testosterone's at. It's tough to say with the ADEX because you got to know. I need to know values for estrogen. Okay,
that's always going to have to be blood work.
So that's always going to be blood work. So within a few weeks, you're going to need to know via side effects or blood work what the elevated testosterone is doing. Is it turning over too much? Is it turning over? Is it being reduced in the DHT? What's happening? You know, it's like. This question is really wide open, and there's too many factors to actually answer this question. But theoretically, you know, you're going to want to at least double your dose. You know, you're going to want to go probably 300-400 milligrams if you're looking to blast, and that should be more than enough. Again, what are the goals too? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know that answer either. So, milligram wise, you can probably pretty much do whatever you want to do. And run it for a long time. Test is you're going to want to run a testosterone dose for you're going to at least 16 weeks, 12 to 16 weeks, you know, and that'll give you a good idea. But at the same time, throughout, you're going to need to manage your estrogen and figure out what your DHT is doing too. So this is, like I said, it's too open-ended to answer altogether. But those are things that you kind of have to think about if you're going to go about doing this for yourself. You're going to be doing a blast. It's a lot of experimentation, you know, if you're doing it outside of your doctor's prescription, you know. So get independent blood work done, and you can kind of go from there. By the time you get gyno, it's too late.
By the time you know, by the time you've lost a bunch of hair, it's too late, right? So you got to figure out these blood values within a few weeks of upping your dose. That's all I can really say, man. I can't really give any instruction past that, you know.
Yeah, I got nothing to add.
Next question here from the boards. What's up, 1.99 docs? Ooh, I like that value. I said, recently I found out that my wife was having an affair. Oh, God, this is awful.
Yeah.
We are working through it, but it really messed me up in every single way manageable. Of course, man. What the fuck? You know, that's like the worst thing that could happen.
He says, it's fucking, God, it's like one of my worst nightmares.
Yeah, that's like, oh, I can't imagine. He says, one of the worst problems to come from this was occasional erection issues. Of course, you got all kinds of mental issues going on right now, and you know that affects your erections erratically, man. There's no controlling that.
No,
he says, which started becoming more and more frequent. Of course, they would. I mentioned this to my doctor at yearly physical, where my testosterone levels were 340 in the afternoon, which was slightly too high for her to prescribe anything, but she referred me to a urologist. He tested me again this time in the morning, and I was 550, which he said was normal. That's pretty normal. And he said most of my erection problems were mental, right? Just like we just said, Doc. He agreed with that, and that I should continue seeing my therapist, and he prescribed me 5 milligrams of Cialis. I asked him how long I would need to keep taking Cialis, and he told me you can take it forever if you want to. Of course, I was curious about it, but I'm only 40 and sort of felt like an old man. I planned to take it for a while until things improved and then get off it. We went on vacation the next weekend, and I started taking it, and it worked great, of course. But then after vacation, when I got back to the gym, that is when I could really feel it. Awesome pumps that stuck around for days. My arms were normally a weak point. Are swollen all the time now from just a few sets. I felt crazy huge, and I would say this is one of the best bodybuilding supplements I have ever taken. Of course, we know about the increased blood flow over all the body. I was just reading some more, and there's a PubMed study where long-term Cialis reduced conversion of testosterone to estrogen, more free test. Of course, it also lowers blood pressure. I've been reading that it reduces inflammation and also prescribed for BHP, so it's benign prostatic hypertrophy, so seems to benefit prostate as well. And it has raised my confidence and self-esteem, something that was totally crushed for a few months. So my question for the docs is there any reason I should plan or ever plan on coming off of this stuff? Potential dangers and anything else you'd recommend? Thanks for the help, docs. Love the show. What do you think about Cialis does he ever need to come off? I mean, I don't think so.
No, listen, he's 40 years old, so you're not an old man. But, hey, we're all over 40. Well, BJ's not there yet, but he's
almost,
close. But, you know, the answer to the question, to make it short, is no. I mean, it's got a lot of health benefits and, you know, not a whole lot of bad side effects. The only thing I would say is, you know, as you get older, you got to really be careful of blood pressure problems. And as you – and this is going to probably inevitably happen to all of us. No, maybe not. I mean, I know it's going to happen to me because of my genetics. But, you know, eventually we're going to be on medicines that this and that, and probably some blood pressure medicines and maybe a sugar medicine or whatever. And so as you get older, you know, you hit 60s, you know, you start to – if you, God forbid, start to have a little – any kind of cardiac trouble, even minor stuff, and they start to put you on certain blood pressure medicines or other things, that's when you start to just got to look out for side effects and interactions. But to be honest, man, with all the stuff that's coming out, it's got benefit for lower urinary tract symptoms with BPH. It causes vasodilation, so it's good for your vasculature. It's great for helps lower blood pressure. You get great boners, you know. The answer is no. It sounds to me like your doctor probably wouldn't want to suddenly pull you. He gave it to you pretty easy. Now, the only other problem is for some people, this is not a medicine problem. It's just a logistics bullshit life problems that your insurance may stop covering it eventually, which always sucks because the 5 milligram dose, some of the insurance daily dose is still a little bit harder to get covered than like the 20 milligram as needed dose. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, if it's helping your relationship, if it's helping your confidence, it's definitely got health benefits. And really, there's not that many bad side, you know, side effects. I don't have a, if I was your doctor and you wanted to stay on it, I would have no reason with that. I'd give you a 90-day refill. I would, you know, I would, just so you come back, we check your blood pressure, I mean, with all medications, even, we always got to check lab work, right? I mean, you want to make sure there's always a potential for everything to affect the kidney. Believe me, it may not be on the packet, but anything that's going in your system could affect you, right? I mean, so there's always a potential for, you know, liver enzyme elevation, kidney function problem. And I'm not saying specifically for Cialis. I'm saying everything, really. But if you're getting your yearly physical or your six-month blood work or whatever and everything's cool and you feel great on it, I have no reason to pull you off that. If you like it, if it's working. There's no reason. It's whatever. Have fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. In fact, I say take 10 milligrams of statin.
I'm
going
torn now.
And walk around with a fat cock all day long.
The only other benefit, here comes my wife walking like she just died. You all right? We're still recording outside version of clinical muscle, so keep it down, you maniac.
Yeah.
She has her she actually has a Matt Porter Vaso Series sweat. A belly band.
No, all right.
What are they called? Them waist trainers?
Waist trainers, yeah.
She puts it on like it's a trash bag, and then she comes back and rips it off and just drips sweat everywhere.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, man, no, I agree with you. I think it's good. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, you know? And if it's helping his life, and I wish him and his wife the best, though, because that's more.
Right. I mean, the whole, the mental stability, you know, and not having your penis working is fucking a life crusher. So if you can walk around with a fat cock all day, that's going to make you feel way better about yourself and, you know, maybe say take some pressure off of yourself for being able to perform, too. You know what I mean?
You know what? Honestly, in my career, one of the most common causes of erectile dysfunction with young guys, and I mean like guys less than 40, or you know, is loss of a relationship or breakup. And then when they first get with a new partner, a lot of guys just – if you've been – you know, they just have a – it's anxiety. It's basically performance anxiety.
Yeah, for sure.
And the same thing I believe is going on with him. He's probably having performance anxiety for whatever reason. I think my reason would be I would probably be, you know – so every time, I mean, it would take me a while to get over the fact of thinking of my wife with someone else. Maybe that's childish, but
no, that's not childish, man. That's the way of the world, right? I mean, that's
I mean, it would that block every time I would try to be intimate. I'm sure that it would freak me out.
Of course,
I would be like angered.
Yeah,
and you're not going to get a dick hard when you're angry.
Nope.
I would be hurt, and it's going to take a while, man. It's good to go into counseling, and it's good to see Alice is working. So, man, if it's working and it's helping you guys, that's go for it. No, you don't need to come off it unless you start having some kind of problem. I don't see that happening.
And then there's been like no indices of problems other than priapism, right?
Right. Yeah. God, don't. Hopefully that never happens. But if he's already taking it, that's a horrible thing to have to get done. A penile fucking cut down.
Yeah.
They actually drain the corpus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They cut
it down.
Oh.
Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. But that usually happens with. It would happen more with high dose PRN doses than you know as needed doses than a low dose everyday dose. I think. I mean that's what I believe. But anyway,
yeah,
go for it.
Next question here from the boards. Oh, another UC Suma question here. He says if someone kept their food. Oh, sorry, I lost my spot here. If someone kept their food intake constant. But one day cut off liquids at 6 p.m., for example, and the next day drank liters of fluid right before bed, would their morning weight fluctuate? More succinctly, what impact would pre-bed fluid intake have on morning weight? He says, I tend to notice that when I drink a ton of fluid before bed, my morning weight is inevitably 2 to 3 pounds higher than when I moderate nighttime fluids. I know this both irrelevant from a fat loss standpoint and definitely focusing on the tree rather than the forest, but it's still curiosity that won't go away. You're going to be heavier, man. That's just the way of it. I mean, unless you've got a crazy metabolism and you've got no colon, right?
Dr. Steve Ogden.
Right. Or John Meadows, right?
John Meadows, yeah.
Then that'll – you could potentially – go down in weight, you know, but usually for most people, even with food constant, if you, once you start fluctuating with your with your fluids, yeah, they can kind of do some wacky things all over.
Which, especially if you're in a diet phase or a pre-contest phase, that's why it's super important to keep everything so consistent, right? Because, you know, if you're pounding six caffeine-free Diet Cokes one Thursday night, and you don't tell your coach, and you wake up, you know, and you drink them at 11 o'clock, and you wake up 3 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you don't want to be doing that, because then it might prompt someone to make a change that's not necessary.
Yeah, it could be, you know, the scale weight's too much, or the, you know, you're holding the fluid subcutaneously too much, and, you know, that can mess around with a coach's eyes for sure. But, you know, if the information is there, they could be like, oh, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? I pounded a dozen, you know, Diet Cokes before bed. Oh, okay. Well, just send me more picks in a couple of days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and you know, the closer you eat, drink that fluid to sleep, depending on how long you sleep, you know, you're not going to diarrhea that, you know? So obviously you're going to be heavier.
Sure, sure. All right, next question here from the boards, Doc. What's a better indication of actual thyroid function? Blood tests or average morning temps via thermometer? One doctor prescribed thyroid meds, both levothyroxine and Armour thyroid. Okay. A blood test showed TSH, free T3, and T4 all within range, yet average body temperature in the morning is 94.5 degrees. In addition, someone told me that heavy sweating at night could be thyroid-related as an issue. House is 72 degrees or at least all time. Sleep with minimal clothing and a fan, yet tend to sweat through cut off every night. Should I discuss this with my doctor or is this hormonal? I do struggle to get lean despite the thyroid drugs and diet cardio training on point. Huh. I wonder what other stuff he's on.
Yeah, that's going to be – that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Big difference, yeah.
Sweats could be –
I mean, let's just say that this is all he's on. Say it's just the thyroid meds.
Then I would say that his blood work would be the option. I mean, that's the best, you know.
Yeah.
You can't, if your blood work's in the normal range, it shouldn't be causing any of those other. And I agree with him. Some of his symptoms will be high thyroid sort of type symptoms, but they also could be a million other thing type symptoms.
Absolutely.
And if his blood tests are normal, they're in normal range. You shouldn't have overt thyroid symptoms. I mean, so the blood test is the way to – you want to look at that first. Now, it's, you know, if you work in reverse, if you're having them symptoms and don't have any blood test, of course, thyroid would be a consideration with those symptoms. But in his case, he's got blood tests are within range and he's on his medicine. Then there's something else is the possibility, whether it's exogenous hormones or endogenous, some other kind of hormone, whether it's infection, you know, because night sweats – always got to take in, I don't want to freak out, but you know, we always, that's one of, you don't want to, you know, night sweats can always be a symptom of infection, hormones. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's taking, God, we don't know what he's taking supplement wise. If he's taking, what about Trend?
Right. Trend, sure.
I mean, it's going to affect your body heat, your sweat.
Or having high DHT levels can definitely increase, you know, your nighttime body levels too. So make you sweat at night, you know? There's just a plethora of things. It can even be diet related, you know? So,
Big question. He says, should I discuss this with my doctor? Is this normal? Definitely just bring it up to them, because like I said, there's a million other things that could cause basically his temperature going up, you know, up and down. And for me, the sweating at night is always something I don't like to hear people complain about, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, especially if it's like drenching.
It's weird, right? It's just not a normal phenomenon.
All are hot. Most of us who are on the bigger side are, you know, are hot people. Like, we're going to sweaty. We stink probably too.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're having like drenched sweats at night where you're like soaked, that's a little more concerning than just feeling hot and run a fan at night, you know?
Mm, yeah.
So I'll definitely discuss all that with your doctor, but just based on your sort of, to keep it simple, yes, I the blood test, if they're in normal range, that's what you go by, not by symptoms, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I can only imagine that this isn't the only thing going on. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely something else is going on. So, I don't know, man. That's a good question.
Yeah. Yep. Make sure you go over that with your doctor.
Yeah, just maybe follow up with us too, and maybe get us some more information. Like whatever else you're, are you using anything else? You know, what's your diet like? He says he's had a hard time trying to get lean. You know. Staying on point with his
I mean, if he's taking certain kinds of stimulants, I mean, that could stain your system, make you have sweats and, you know, heart rate and stuff like that.
For sure.
I mean, shit, Yohimbine can make you fucking sweat like a pig and drop, make you get chills and everything else if you take enough of it. So, you know, all that kind of little stuff is kind of important. So, but yeah, go with the blood work, man. If it's normal, then you're everything's where it's supposed to be.
Doc, we've got one more question, and it's from the it's from my Instagram. I guess the guy sent it to me from my Instagram. I just found it here. So, he sends some lab work. Okay, he sends his thyroid panels, testosterone, prostate, IGF-1, estradiol. His estradiol is very low, bottomed out. You know, his testosterone is it looks to be. Actually, low is testosterone is low. His free test is low.
Yeah, me and you both. He sent the stuff to me too.
You did. Okay, so you got this. Okay, so you've got his lab work here. But his question is, you know, can you still have? He says I've got super low estrogen, but still get sensitive spots in his chest. He says he's run 75 milligrams of Masteron EOD. Testosterone cypionate 300 milligrams for 12 weeks, no real issues, then went on vacation, been off for a few weeks of everything, was trying to lower test to get a prescription, so he lowered test to 100 milligrams a week and started developing sensitivity. He upped his AI, did blood work, and test is like 100, right, so he's got low test, and estrogen is like 8, but still have a sensitive spot. The only other thing was that, you know, his liver enzymes were kind of all over the place here. He's been using – 6 weeks prior to this, he was using 50 milligrams of oral Winnie a day, you know, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off for Clint. That's all the information he kind of gave us, but it does look like his liver enzymes are very high.
Yeah, I got some additional info from him too.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, the one thing he said to me too was that he had to go back and get his labs redrawn. Because when she stuck the needle in, she said to him, well, this is what she said. She said that she let the vacuum break and she thought that it clotted. She sent it off for testing and it came back to where they couldn't even do some of his tests. They did his lipids. They did the thyroid, the hormones, his test level was estrogen, and his liver enzymes came back and his ALT was screaming high, like 400s, right? Did you see that?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I noticed that.
Okay. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just doing this off my memory, and it was about a week ago or so, whenever. Yeah, so his liver enzymes were like 400, and they couldn't test his blood count. So I, you know, he said, you know, we talked about the same things you're about. So you can talk about the estrogen thing and see what you say about that. But basically, what I was, and we knew what he was taking supplement wise, and we were just having a conversation. And my big thing here is, so when you see that happen. And she said that the Vacutainer or whatever, I forget what she told him. But really what I think happened was she drew his blood and it sat around too long. And blood can hemolyze. If it gets old, it'll start to break up. And sometimes when that happens, they can't do certain tests. And for this guy, they couldn't do a CBC. It said not test it, basically. And the other things that really can be affected with hemolyzed blood are electrolytes, specifically potassium. So the first thing you need to do if someone has a really high potassium, and he didn't, if you come back, guys, and your potassium level is 6, 7, and you don't have any symptoms and you're not, you know, and everything else is completely normal, the first thing they should redo is immediately retest that blood because it could have sat too long. And the same thing kind of goes when you see a wacky liver enzymes, because liver enzymes are enzymes, right? They're inside cells. The blood sits around long enough. Things are going to break open. Things are going to spill out that normally wouldn't and can falsely elevate. So I'm not convinced that the hemolysis from his blood sitting around or whatever she told him isn't skewing those liver enzymes because they seem out of control. And he's basically on nothing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
he went
crazy.
On vacation. He had a couple drinks. You know, whatever. From what I read, you know,
50 milligrams of Winnie every day for 6 weeks is not going to get your liver enzymes that high.
Your ALT of 400.
Yeah.
And he and then there's other tests. There's something. So it's so you got to go get that blood work redone. At least that part, because that's the first thing. Because he also, like you said, is trying to get TRT, and you know he has low testosterone, so he stopped doing anything himself and came off whatever he was doing. And his test level was 100, I think, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember. But yeah, off the top of my head.
A little over 100, yeah, 117.
So The company that he's working with to get his TRT were really concerned about his liver enzymes. And I'm not sure they were going to prescribe him his medicine. So I said, you need that company. So anyway, if that happens, they should absolutely do your blood work again for free. That's like buying a pair of pants from Abercrombie and Fitch, and they had, you know, they were damaged.
Yeah,
you know,
big like, giant hole in the crotch. Yeah.
Well, they might come with a hole in the crotch. That's what I was going to say, but they sell clothes like that.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
the kids you know, like them like that. They just like their vagina showing.
So anyway. Yeah. Long story short is, if you guys get some wacky numbers and you know you're told that all the sample was hemolyzed, go back and get that blood work. Don't even look at that blood work. But yeah. So anyway, his question about the estrogen, what do you think about the sensitivity going on with the low estrogen?
Well, I mean, assuming that the blood work is correct and that didn't get fucked up too, I'd imagine that this has got to be – and there's no prolactin on here. So,
yeah.
You know, this has got to be like a prolactin, maybe progesterone spun – type look, when you lower your estrogens that much and your testosterone is low, you're creating a retarded imbalance, so much so that your DHTs can go up, your prolactin can go way up, your progesterones can go up. Your progesterone and estrogen are kind of like growth hormone insulin. You know, one doesn't exist without the other. You know what I mean? It's like they're antagonists of each other. So progesterone and estrogen are also antagonists of each other. Problem is when you have estrogen so low and a progesterone that's a little bit higher – well, progesterone kind of sits on like the nerve endings of the the receptors of your of the glandular tissue, in your nipples in males and women, and they kind of signal prolactin to be let down. If there's progesterone there bound to there, they're kind of like the key, you know. They open the door. Yeah. They open the door for prolactin to come flooding in. So when I understand he's trying to get us, you know, TRT and stuff, but yo, with your estrogen that low, you're gonna have sensitivity issues real bad, you know.
There you go.
And he didn't get those tested, so I don't know that for sure, but that from understanding biology how it should work technically, then that's kind of where my brain is going. I don't know that for sure, but that's my best guess.
Perfect. I got nothing to add.
Yeah. So that's where that sensitivity is coming through. Gyno can happen in so many different ways, man. You know, you don't. It could be high estrogen, low estrogen, high progesterone. It could be equal progesterone to estrogen, but high prolactin. You know, growth hormone can directly signal growth of that glandular tissue. Also, so I mean, IGF-1 can do it too. There's so many ways that someone can get gyno, but more blood work is what he really needs.
And get your original blood work redrawn because it's – you got it. That's something – yeah, that shit screwed up.
Yeah.
The AST – I mean, excuse me. It was ALT. ALT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AST was high too. It was double the normal amount.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. I don't remember, but I knew the ALT caught my eye. I was like, holy mackerel. Yeah, 400. That looks like Tylenol overdose level.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, acetaminophen. Too much. So, but hey, follow up with us and let us know how it's going. If you guys have any questions you want to submit to Clinical Muscle, like I said from before, forum.advicesradio.com. Click on the bodybuilding discussion link. It'll take you right to Clinical Muscle, Blood, Sweat, and Gear, all the shows. You can ask whatever questions you want to all of us buffoons over here. We'll help any way we can, you know?
Yep.
That's it for questions, though, this week, Doc. What do you got going on? You got the day off now after saving someone's life?
Yep.
Yeah.
Gonna go,
bask in the glory. Be like, I saved that motherfucker. He didn't even know my name.
Yeah. If I didn't do it before, it would probably be good. But I've been down that road. But it's always talk about adrenaline rush when it happens. Though,
sure,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
You
got to train today. You said,
yeah, I'm going to jump on my scooter right in front of me here, and I'm going to ride my scooter over to the gym.
All right,
and I'm going to do some back and buys, and then I might hit the beach or the pool, and I'm just trying to just chill,
living the life, Doc. I fucking love it.
I love the summertime. We chill.
Yeah, you do.
It's a little tight. It's a little tight. You know, we're always bumping into each other and tripping over the dogs, but we have fun with it.
Yeah, that's okay. It sounds glorious. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's chill.
I've got I think my wife has the day off today. We are going to go into town and going to head into Ann Arbor, maybe hit up some dispensaries, you know, and then I definitely got to go train first, though, and then today's a low-carb day, so I don't get to enjoy too much, but I'm saving them all for one meal with my wife, you know.
Get yourself a nice steak salad while you're out.
That's actually, that's pretty good. That sounds really good. Some steak sounds delish on the grill.
I love it.
Yeah. All right, Doc, that's it for Clinical Muscle this week. We will see you next time. The doctors are out.
See you guys.